Good morning to you all. So glad that you could join us again. As the COVID-19 pandemic brought global and brings global suffering and death over the world over this past few months, Christians nonetheless celebrated Easter with its promise of new life. And now we might be tempted to simply move on, set aside Easter with its hope and its joy, and then kind of let all the brokenness define life again. Easter may have passed, but the hope of the resurrection is new every morning because Jesus has overcome. And because of Jesus' victory, hope is a confident expectation that God has fulfilled and will fulfill his promises of redemption for his people and for the world. Now, don't get me wrong, we are in a tough time. I was reading Romans 12:15, where it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." And I think we've been doing quite a bit of that lately, a lot of mourning with those who mourn. But then I read Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." We grieve, we mourn, but we have hope. This pandemic is reminding all of us that life is fragile and often too short. And along with all of creation, we groan with the brokenness, and we long to see it all healed. We know this is not the way it's supposed to be, but we do not lose sight of the resurrection. And we practice hopeful laments, trusting Christ to bring about the restoration of all things. And we work toward and we long for the flourishing of all things. We celebrated and we celebrate that death does not have the final word, because God in his might has acted to redeem and restore what he has made. And he invites us to partake in this process of bringing healing. And so we are compelled to love our neighbors well while practicing wise social distancing. The God we read about in Scripture continually acts, and we see his loving actions in his Son throughout the Gospels. And last week we celebrated Jesus' act of resurrection. And now we come out of the Gospels and into Acts as the action continues. It's a well-named book, Luke Part 2. And basically it's saying Christianity isn't an armchair exercise. We don't sit back after Easter. We see the followers of Christ called to action. That's why in this series we're talking about being sent. There's an action there. To be part of God's acts that we read about throughout Scripture and see with the history of the church. So, let's get into our series, and we're going to start obviously in Acts 1, and we're going to read Acts 1 through 11, so look at it with me, where Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about Jesus and what he began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" There's our first passage out of Acts. I'm going to encourage you to read through the book of Acts as we go through this series over the next number of weeks. It'd be really good for you to kind of follow along and stay with us on this. Luke, as I said, begins his second volume of the origins and spread of Christianity with a greeting to Theophilus. It's a Greek name meaning God lover. And he reminds this man, who we don't know who he is, but he's also reminding us, that this first volume was all about Jesus and what he did and taught until he was taken up. Ascension Day is what is being described there. We're going to be celebrating that way out in May. May the 21st is Ascension Day. But here's Jesus and all he did. That's what Luke's saying. Here's his acts. And then he kind of says to all of us, and to the disciples of that day as well, and now here's you. Here's you needing now to act as well in this ongoing story, to carry on this gospel, this good news, into your life and into your world. It's interesting to me, though, that at first we react. And you see that in the disciples there. They've seen Jesus alive for a period of time, for 40 days. They even shared a meal with him. And so they asked then, so are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And maybe to some of you, it feels a bit like a stupid question, you know, to ask Jesus at that time. But it isn't. At least I don't think so. And Jesus replies. He says, it's not for you to know about the timing, but I can see why the disciples asked the question. Jesus has always proclaimed the kingdom of God is at hand. He even says in verse 3, right, where it says he spoke about the kingdom. I mean, he had in his life cast out demons and healed the sick and freed people from what enslaved them. God's reign was on display. The kingdom was on display. Surely now, right, the grave is overcome. Jesus is with them. I mean, this has got to be the time. And for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, Israel had anticipated the day when swords would be beat into plowshares and spears made into pruning hooks. There'd be no more for war. The human community would feast and drink wine together. The vision of justice and peace for all people would come to be. Surely now, Lord, this has got to be the time. No more oppression, no more hunger, no more disease. Now? But the pain remained. Brokenness was still on display inside them and all around them. Rome still ruled. Lord, now would be a great time to end the pain and the brokenness. And I get that question. I'm sure you do too, especially now. But Jesus says, don't get caught up in the time question. Rather, receive, and here we have it, the power I will give you, the Holy Spirit. Receive the vision and the mission I give you. That's your calling. There's a number of ways that Christians have tried to bridge the gap between the brokenness and the pain and Jesus' resurrection, and how do we fit these two together. For some, they take this vision then, and they make it all about heaven, all about the future. Jesus is only referring to what's to come after life. But this seriously misunderstands the Christian message. Because if it's only about heaven and us entering it, we don't have to then concern ourselves particularly with the poor and the hungry, with the broken-spirited, with disease, with suffering. And then the kingdom is really a promise and not an agenda for now. It's not wrong to emphasize the future and look toward heaven. But it is wrong to deny that the promise applies for the here and the now realities of earthly life. Others take that vision and they apply it primarily to spiritual dimensions in people. It internalizes the vision entirely. Jesus satisfies spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. And the vision is narrowed to a spiritual life of an individual. It's all about inner peace, your inner peace. And the world that we live in is merely something to be survived. And this, too, misses much of the vision and mission that Jesus brought us. And then others make the vision of the kingdom all about the church and its activity here and now. It's a vision that we achieve on our own. It's all about social justice and political realities. And it neglects the need for God's Spirit to transform us inside and out. Jesus' vision of the kingdom was not an invitation to withdraw from the world into religious ghettos or turn into pious-minded moral individualists. It cannot be reduced to reform manifestos of ideals to be achieved by human effort alone. To live in the reality of Easter, in the reality of the resurrection, is to seek God's kingdom now. And to live in the light of His reign and His rule in the whole of reality and space and time, now and forever, everything included. That's the whole vision and mission that we're seeing the church being invited into in the beginning of Acts here. That's Easter reality. Jesus proclaimed good news for the oppressed, for the poor, the broken in spirit, both spiritually and materially, both individually and corporately deprived. It is a hope for now and a hope to come. It is a renewal of individuals and communities. And Jesus says, it is at hand. And then He died and rose again to bring it. And the church is part of that promise and part of that mission. Somehow, through the church, the kingdom comes to greater fullness. You might ask, well, how? Let's look at verse 8 one more time here. In verse 8 we read where Jesus said, "But you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes in you. You will be My witnesses in Judea and in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We witness the work of Christ, and we live by that work. And the Spirit is the power and the presence of God for the church to help fulfill that agenda and that mission of God in order to restore brokenness in creation and in all people. We share in God's purposes and plans. So yes, we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we partake of the Lord's Supper and communion. His brokenness heals us, and we share that healing with others. So yes, with the disciples, I've asked, Lord, now? Now? And I need to hear, Sid, don't worry about the timing. Just be My witness. Just share what I've done, share what I've said, and know My Spirit empowers you. And I think during this kind of time, we need to remind ourselves of that. Because like the disciples in verse 10, and let's look at it for a moment here. In verse 10 and 11, we read the disciples here. After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And then this, they were looking intently up in the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way." And I can picture them standing there looking up. And I picture myself, I can do a lot of standing around and looking around, a lot of talking without a lot of action sometime. In Luke's Easter drama, there were two angels in that story as well that appeared to Mary and the disciples. And there's questions asked then too. Look at it with me. Let's jump back to that story. Luke 24, we're at the tomb. And it says this, "While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men," here we go again, in clothes that gleamed like lightning, "stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, He's risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' And then they remembered His words." He told you He'd rise again, so why are you looking in tombs? And now the angels ask the disciples, smiling, I think, you know, "Why are you standing there looking up? Didn't you just hear Him say, 'Go, go be My witnesses through the world'? You know who I am now. I am the one who goes to sit at the right hand of the Father. I reign. You know who I am. So now you know who you are and what you need to do." The angels help them get their feet back on the ground. in order to embrace the vision where God brings his reign to the world, and he chooses to bring us in on the task, in our families, in our neighborhoods. I've been hearing some beautiful stories of neighbors connecting with neighbors during this time. What a beautiful display of the kingdom at work. This is about being the kingdom in our workplaces, in our communities. And as we join hands, figuratively, across the ages and generations with those who saw from the very beginning Jesus' work, through them, we know the story that tells of a love that set people free. We see a God who did not withdraw from us, but a God who offers forgiveness to all, who offers hope and renewal. We are a witness of a love that did not bend to social or political purposes and pressure, a love that faced suffering and crucifixion, a love that was buried only to rise again, a love that overcomes all things and brings life in all its fullness. And we, like the original followers, we have our own renewal stories, which we ought to share. And yes, we also have our own denials and our own limitations, and yeah, we ought to talk about that too sometime, because we need grace. Yet he invites us to be a witness to that grace and to that love over and over and over again. And this shows up in every single thing we do. You know, there was a lot that the disciples didn't understand in this given moment about how it all fit together. By the way, that's still true. This disciple has lots he doesn't understand. Yet the Spirit continues to help us and to guide us and to empower us as the Spirit did then too. Acts is thoroughly missional, writes Stephen Walton. For it is focused, as he says this, it is focused on God's mission as God draws people into his orbit and brings them into community. And this has been God's intent all along from the very beginning. You know, I picture the disciples watching Jesus ascend, wishing he wouldn't leave them alone again. They'd already lost him once. It was so good to be with him. And there he goes. Now what? But this time, they wouldn't be left alone. Jesus saw to that. And the Spirit comes, and God's mission of love and renewal is carried on. And Acts tells us to go and share that good news. The brokenness, the disease, the strife, the conflict, that doesn't define us anymore. Rather, forgiveness and redemption and restoration remake us into who God intended us to be in the first place. So, church, quit looking up and get busy sharing Jesus and the life he brings. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for joining us in this adventure of life. But more than that, thank you for bringing us life in all its fullness. Thank you for overcoming sin and death and brokenness, and thank you for inviting us into the task of sharing that healing and that restoration and that renewal. Lord, I pray that we may be known as the people who help bring renewal and hope, even in this time, and maybe especially at this time. May we be a blessing to our families, to our friends, to our communities, to our neighbors, to our workmates. Lord, will you use us to bring about your kingdom come in ever greater fullness, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we will sing another song, and then I'll come and bring the blessing.